come from Durbanville, and we are so blessed to have them with us as they became part of us. So we're looking forward to everything the Lord is going to do through him and through them. So I'm going to hand the mic to him.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. Awesome. Wow. I just felt there was a moment during our worship time, and I just felt this word, are you ready for me? Like God wanted to come here. Are you ready for me? I don't know if we're ever ready for God. It's just like, come on. I know we have this expectation that Jesus is coming, and that is a beautiful expectation, and don't let that diminish in your life. But there are times when God wants to come here and presents himself with us in a physical, in a real way, and we need to be ready for him. We need to open up our hearts and be ready for him, even if it feels like, wow, but let him do it, and let him come and visit with us. So this morning, there's a scripture in Malachi 1 that says this in verse 2, I have loved you, says the Lord. I have loved you, says the Lord. And I think all our engagement with God starts with that statement. I have loved you. We don't deserve this place. We don't deserve his presence. We don't deserve his goodness. But he starts off by saying, but I've loved you. And that means something from God. And it should mean something to us as well, that he loves us. So this morning's message is really about your testimony, but actually your faith. Because I really want to speak to you about your faith, and I really want to just encourage you in your faith, in your walk with God, that you understand. So it's how we start our lives. We start with faith. Faith in the Word, faith to be saved, and God gives us the grace, and he saves us and sets us free. But we need to know this morning how to use this faith and how to express this faith. And sometimes we get into the place where we're quite comfortable with where we are, and we get into a very religious mode with God, and it's not like important what we do with our faith. But I need you to know today, the scripture says that faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. And without that faith, it says these words, it is impossible. Do you know the word impossible? You want to say the word impossible? Impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. So it says something to you and I this morning, that there's something about our faith that needs to be real and active and alive. It's not a passive thing. It's not something that you just grip hold of and say, I have faith in God. I believe in God. But it's an active engaging with our God in a real and daily basis, every day. And so we may like to compare our lives with Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Caleb and all these great men of faith. And do we stand equal with them? Do we stand in that place that we are prepared to trust God with all of our hearts? Because that ultimately becomes our testimony. Your testimony is about you trusting God from the beginning to be saved, from that point on to move forward in the knowledge that he is there, he's able for us. And he wants you to trust him. He wants you to have faith in him. Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. So think about that for a moment. It's impossible to please him without faith. So we have to have it. It's an ingredient of our lives. It's an ingredient of our walk with God that we need to daily experience of faith in God. Now, for some of us, faith means that I need something, and the only way I can get it is to have faith. And it's true. It's not wrong to believe that at all. But how do I build my faith? How do I grow a testimony? is my testimony should not be the same from year to year. We can go from day to day and live a same testimony. But is it enough? Can I not develop it? Is there not more of God? If God was to walk through this door today in presence and reveal himself to us, what would you ask him? You've had some questions that you put or statements that you put down on a little piece of paper today. I'm trusting you for this. I'm believing you for this. And maybe today is that day where he will answer that prayer. Are we living by faith? So we have to wrestle our heart to the grounds today. So we have to wrestle our spirits to the ground. And we need to say to God that the answer that we have, that we need, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Would you catch me? Would you hold me? Would you help me? That's faith reaching out to a living God. And we need to posture our hearts well in a time of testing. There are two scriptures. The one in James 1. You want to put that up for us? There we go. Is that your scripture? All right. Yeah, your blessing for the day. All right. Count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers and my sisters. There are other versions of scripture that use the word sisters, so they don't feel excluded. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials and various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith. So here's a big question. Does God test our faith? You just said so. The testing of your faith. Your testing of your faith. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. What is that version we got here? Produces steadfastness. In another version, it will say this. It produces perseverance. It produces endurance. And if we allow that to have its full effect, that you will be made perfect, complete, and mature, lacking in nothing. Can you see the fulfillment of your faith? The fulfillment of your faith is that you will lack nothing. That you will be in a place that you lack nothing. That your experience of God will not be empty, like an empty shell. Of course, there are arguments that are going around in our hearts now, but what about the time he didn't answer? What about the time that my faith didn't seem to work? It didn't have the reach that it should have had. It's because we don't fully understand faith, and we don't fully understand how God tests and allows a test to actually work in us perseverance. And we need perseverance. We need that steadfastness. We need to be able to stand in the storm. Life is not easy. Walk out of these doors, not easy. It's not easy in our lives. And I'm sure today there's a history of needs among us today. Those people that are crying out to God for work. They're crying out to God for more money, for health. They're crying out to God for the salvation of a family member. They're crying out to God. There's a reach of faith day by day looking for answers from God. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is when he comes, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, we do not get saved for nothing. Being saved means we have faith in a living God. And there will be a day that His revelation will be true to us, and we will praise him for trusting him and all the things he's done. You see, every possible trial, every impossible trial, the tribulations to the child of God is a strategic masterpiece of the Holy Spirit. A strategic masterpiece of the Holy Spirit, that He knows how to work your heart. He knows how to wrestle you to the ground. He knows how to build your endurance. Not all of us build endurance in the same way. And some of us need this, and some of us need that. But God knows how to build endurance, and the Holy Spirit knows. He knows you as an individual, and He can really work your heart in that way. So what would your well done look like when you finally see Him one day? What would it look like? Well done what? Well done, say again. Well done, good and faithful servant. I think that's a good starting point, yeah. Well done, good and faithful servant. But what does your well done look like? Faithful in what? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. What is this thing about being well done? Well done what? A well done steak? No, not a well done steak. We prefer medium rare or whatever. Well done. Well done what? What are you doing? Oh, well done. Well done, faith. That's what it's about. Your faith needs to be well done. That when you stand before Him, He can answer. You can give Him a response. Your endurance, your perseverance has been made complete and perfect. You have become mature. You have received something that is more precious than gold. More precious than gold. We've just read the scriptures. So what does it really look like? Yeah. So he has a very raw testimony, and you'll know the story when I reveal it to you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the three? In Daniel's day, they were in a foreign land. They were thrown into a fiery furnace because they would not bow down. You remember that story? All right. So this is where we take off. In Daniel 3, verse 16, it says that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, will deliver us. Now think about this. This is quite an extreme. The God that we serve will deliver us from the burning furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods. We will not bow down. Now that is a test of faith. That you can stand in a place and you can say, I trust you, God, that I will not be burned. I will trust that you will deliver me from the hand of this evil king. I'll trust you in all of this. But if you do not, I'll still trust you. I will still trust you. I will not bow down. Those are the extremes of faith. And that is what is being tested time and again. The time when you are so believing and so trusting that God will come through for you on a particular thing, and so believing that even if He doesn't, He's still God, and He's my God, and I am His son, and I am His daughter. So what would your testimony look like? I want to give us a little bit of an exercise. In 1 Thessalonians 1, it says this in verse 6 and 7, that you became imitators of your leaders, because this is the person speaking, Paul speaking. You became imitators of me, or of us, and the Lord, for you received the word with much affliction. I don't know why this word keeps popping up in the scripture, and it just comes time and again. And in this particular case, the word affliction here is really one of those big words. It's in the original Greek language in which the New Testament is written. It is a big word, and it's really about pressure. It's about anguish. It's about being burdened. It's about being persecuted. It's about having tribulation, trouble, that you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, you add the joy of the Holy Spirit to that whole equation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Next words. Enter into the joy. There's something about the joy that we don't fully understand here. And we're not going to go into that detail today, but there's a joy. There's a joy in this whole deal. So, he goes on to say, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example, a model to all believers. Now, I have this in my heart for all of you, especially those guys in Azefontein. The guys in Durbanville, good for you. Thanks for being here today. But you can have this word as well. I'm not going to exclude you from this. That we will be an example. And that word example is actually quite a powerful word in the original Greek text. It's not just a simple saying that you're a good model, that you're going to stand on the stage and you're going to model this faith that you have. It is something a lot deeper than that. And this is about how you really build your faith and how you build into your faith. Now, I have in my pocket, and I'll get it out in a moment, a 5-rand coin. Because it's about the best coin that has the most inscriptions on it. And it's got a lot smaller than it was in the original state. It was a paper version sometime. But anyway, I sat the whole of yesterday carving out this coin. I just had a piece of silver and a little piece of brass, and I sat the whole of the day trying to get all the images on it. And I hope it looks like a 5-rand coin to you. Okay? So, of course, you're lying. It would take me longer than a day to get everything done, yeah? But this coin has been struck. It has been struck. It has been impacted to get what it is. So you take the negative of this. It takes a person a long while to actually make the negative of this. But then it gets put into a die lot, and that die strikes the metal as it comes through the system. And I don't know, I've never been there, and I don't think they'll let you in there, because then you'll learn how to make money. And it's a lot easier than having to work for it, I promise you. But the fact is that this was a struck coin. It was struck. Now, that's exactly what that word means, to be a model, to be an example. It means that it has been struck. Is struck. So, to begin with, it could be quite painful. To begin with, it could be quite painful. It could be an exercise of our faith, an exercise where God will take us through something and he will bring about a reality of an impression in our lives. And the impression is really of Jesus, that we have become struck with the impression of Jesus. That it's not just a piece of paper, that you don't walk around with a piece of paper, I'm a Christian. Check this, I'm a Christian. Check my passport, I'm a Christian. But it has been struck. It has been almost, let me use some of the words. You know, remember those old typewriters that you go tick, 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 psh, one of those typewriters, okay. It uses a ribbon, and it's got letters in reverse of what you wanted to display. And as it strikes the ribbon onto the paper, it gives you a message. And that's what we've become for Christ. And I'm trusting that God will take us as a congregation, take you Durbanville people. You're living in that part of the world, that you will be an image, a model of what God wants. And that really is your testimony. But it takes some work to get this out there. It takes some work of the Holy Spirit to get you into a shape, into a model that is going to display his glory and his goodness. Let me move on. So, what does your testimony look like today? How deeply have you become struck? Or have you become one of those very used and old coins that just don't have much of a picture on it anymore? Or are you fresh in your faith, in your walk with God, in your relationship with Jesus? So, what is the posture of your heart in a time of trouble, in the time of grief and sorrow, and all those things that we go through? We know that he's faithful and that he will come to our rescue. I'm going to bring this to a close because I think you all understand where we're going with this. We need to have faith in a living God. We need to have faith. It needs to be an alive faith. It can't be passive faith. We need to have faith in a living God. If he were to arrive here today, what would you ask him? What would you want of him? It is a test that we go through many times, and many times he will not answer you with the word yes. He may answer you with the word no. He may say to you, wait. But whatever his answer is, do you trust him? If faith pleases God, do you want to please God? Then you need to trust him. It is like a little child standing on the edge of something and saying to his daddy, catch me. And your daddy is waiting. Your heavenly father is waiting to catch you, to catch you. And that faith, that belief of that little child knows that it doesn't matter how I jump, if I jump skew, if I jump with feet first, if I put my head down or whatever it is, I know that he will catch me. He will catch me. And I need you to understand this, that faith pleases God. Faith put it there for a reason. It wasn't just to display something. It was there for a reason, and the reason was to grow you, to develop you into being like Christ, struck with the image of Christ in your life, that you can know that he is your Father and your God. It is an uncomfortable place to be, because I don't know if you are in the fiery furnace today. I don't know. And I don't know what the outcome of that fiery furnace will be, but I do know this, that God, whether he brings you through the fire or he does not, he is still your God and you can still trust him. Because the outcome of it all is that we stand before him one day and he says, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. I wish we had time to really expound the greatness of God. Just go and look at the ocean when you leave this building today and just look. God made that. He says he holds the ocean in the palm of his hand. Is he big enough? Are we ready for that big God to get into our lives and stay in our lives? Are we ready to walk with him? Are we ready to walk his ways? Are we ready to be built into something that looks like his son? You know that scripture in Romans 8, it says, all things work together for good. You know how much all things mean? Well, I guess it means all things. All things work together for good. Do you trust him in the all things? Do you trust him in the all things? Why? That you will be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the ultimate goal. When God gave us his son, he gave us his son that we will become his sons and daughters, that we will have the image of his son. The Father delights in his children, and we are his children made in his image. So, I would like us to do a little exercise here today. Firstly, to respond, not to me, but to God's word. But you know exactly where you are today. You know exactly where you are. You know what you're struggling with. You know what you're dealing with in your life, be it sickness, be it finance, be it job, be it a situation that is difficult. And I listened to some of the hearts and some of the testimonies that I've had just in the short while that I've been with you. And I can feel that there's something of what I'm sharing today that is going to help you. Because you need to have faith in a living God. You need to trust him. But I want us to get to that place that we can really voice it in a way. God, I'm trusting. I'm trusting you. And that it will not just be a passive trust. It will not be, oh, well, I trust God, you know, someday. someplace, some time or another, whenever you've got time, God, you can look my way and you can help me with this or you can help me with that. Or you cannot help me at all and I'll still trust you. But it's not passive. It needs to be alive, engaged in a living God that can, that God is walking among us, that is among us and part of our lives. So, do you have need? Would you like to just stand if you have a need? Whatever it is, doesn't matter. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. You have a need. Whatever the need is, you've been praying, trusting God for whatever it is. Healing for your body, struggling with time, even time, little thing. I need more time, God. Struggling with it. I'm struggling with my walk with you. I'm up here and I'm down there. I'm never in the right place. I never find my rhythm with you, God. I'm trusting you for this. I'm trusting my way. Faith pleases God, friends. Faith pleases God. You want to please God this afternoon. It's afternoon now. He's pleased. Is he pleased with what you're even saying to him today, right now? Would you just lay a hand on somebody beside you? All right. Pray with them. Ask them if they want to open up their hearts, pray, and just say, this is it. This is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm trusting God for. All right. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each person as they reach out their hand to their friend in the fellowship of saints, that we can trust you, my God, with the very thing that is pressing on our hearts today. And know that you will work a work, my God, that will complete us and make us perfect and mature in you. That you will be glorified on that day when we finally see you. That you will be lifted up and exalted on that day when we finally see you. And so we're asking, my God, we're taking a step today of faith. We're taking a step publicly. We're proclaiming it in the name of the Lord, and we're asking you, my God, that you will make a difference in each person's life, that today it will be settled that you are God, you are able, and even if you don't, you're still God, and you're still able. And we love you for it, my God, because you are faithful to each one of us. To each one of us, Lord. Would you heal? Would you set free? Would you provide? Would you help? Would you catch us? Would you hold us close to you? Would you draw us near to you? And we ask this in Jesus' name. All right. You can sit down for a moment. All right, do we have someone here today that's got a very good meter in his stride? I want somebody to... Huh? Well, that'd be more than a meter if we get all of Jacques. You know, anybody can just do a meter for me. Anybody who does measurements around, you know, I want you to give me 9 meters. Come on. That's your job. The man who's the meter man. Can you give us 9 meters? Do you think you have enough room for 9 meters? Give us 9 meters. Okay. I'll stand where you took off. That's 9 meters. All right. That's impossible. The distance is impossible for me to get to Martin right now, right? You agree with that? Okay. All right. Carl Lewis is one man that can actually do that in a long jump, 9 meters. He holds the record for a long jump, 9 meters. This is the distance. Okay. Now, some of you guys are thinking, when I get home, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show everybody that I can do this. It's not that difficult. All right. The expression, and why I'm particularly doing this, is because it's a leap. It is a big jump. It's the impossible jump. And somewhere along the line, I just want you to know about the impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's impossible. So this is one of the impossibles that mankind has actually overcome. But that impossible, it is impossible to please God. It's further than a 9 meters. But at the same time, I'm saying to you to open up your heart and say, I'm going to live in the impossible. I'm going to live in the impossible. I'm going to go not to displease God, but I want to please God with my impossible. I want to reach out to God and say, God, you are able. Anytime, any place, whatever the situation, however big it is, however small it is, however insignificant it is in anybody else's life, I am going to trust you for this leap that I'm going to take. These 9 meters. And it's just 9 meters. It's humanly possible. It's humanly possible. Somebody has actually done it. And just by the way, you can do, I think it's 100 meters in about 8-9 seconds. Think about 100 meters in 9 seconds. That means every second, all right? How many meters does he have to do? 11 meters every second. So his feet are down on the ground at least 8 times, at least 7 times. That he's doing it every second. Think about it, 1 second. Okay, that's just a man. But we are dealing with God, and I'm trying to encourage you today, and I've given you the picture so that you can see it may take a leap in your heart, that you've trusted God for this much in your life. You have now learned that you can have great faith. You can have great faith. Not you of little faith, but you of great faith. You can have, because our God is a great God. 9 meters is not difficult for God. He made that man called Carl Lewis to begin with. He gave him the talent to do a 9 meter jump. But we will not forget it, because we can hold that as our banner today. I'm going to make a leap in terms of trusting God and walking with him. Would you do that? Are you excited about it? You give it a go? All right, let's see things happen. For Azefontein and Durbanville, you can go for it as well. All right? Not just 100 kilometers to get you. Let's trust God for even more. You can move here, by the way. It's fine. We don't mind. You can come. You can join us. We'd love to have you along here. Thanks, Martin. Appreciate your 9 meters. It's a good one, eh? All right. Quantity surveyor. Okay. There we go. Thank you, Heavenly Father, this morning, that we can trust you even in the smallest detail of our lives. And no matter how difficult it may be for us, God, we can jump the 9 meters. We can jump that 9 meters. We can do it with you, because we know that you are the one that ultimately honors faith, because it pleases you. And we believe you, God. We trust you that this faith that we have in you is going to be for our perseverance and strength and the building up of our lives. In your name. Amen. Good. Thanks. You can eat see.
Yeah, that was really good. After listening to that, I think some of us might think back of what we wrote on that little paper and think maybe we should alter that and make it a bit bigger. But you've got the paper. And you've got the number of the other person, so share what the Lord has done today as well, and how he has built your faith today. And may that be and become a testimony of how big he really is and the impossible that he can do. Amen. Yeah. Thank you very much, Henry.
Good.
That was really, really good. We had a good day, and you are welcome to stay a bit longer and take this word that's been given and run with it. Take that little card and reach out to the other person. Let's build kingdom here. We are busy with the most important thing that is available to us and to anyone. So, yeah, it's good.
Just one last thing. I've got a piece of paper that doesn't have a number on it. So you'll write it. You'll write it down for me. Okay. So if any one of you do have a piece of paper that you're given out without the number, you can just go to the person. Right. Before we close, just one last thing. Is there anyone here today that has never given their life to Jesus, that all this crazy talk about faith and all that is just kind of like way out there? Never given your life to Jesus, never given Jesus an opportunity. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I was just saying, would you just quickly raise your hand? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed if you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Put up your hand. We'll have someone pray with you and carry you through and bring you into a place where you can have faith in the living God and that He can change your life forever. Anyone? Quickly, just before we close. Thank you. We all good? We're all trusting, all believers. Wonderful stuff. Enjoy your day. Have a wonderful time. Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry, I jumped you a bit on that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right, that's good one. Mama.